This is Will's Band of the Week for October 22nd, 2018. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David, live from the New York City Bureau.
I am live. I am alive and I'm live.
Right. It'd be sort of hard. I mean, we always say it's live. And how would we ever record if it's not live? We'd have to, if your voice is pre-recorded, I suppose, it wouldn't be live. But if you send one of those live reports and it's pre-recorded, then we wouldn't be able to say that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if I just had automated responses to your questions.
Right. I guess technically,
you know, like those programs I think there's an AI program that will respond to if you discuss your problems with it, it'll respond as a therapist, and it apparently is able to fool many people into thinking that there's a live person listening to them when it's really just giving them automated responses.
Wow. Yeah, there was something that I heard probably on some podcast or something, where they had a live person, and then they had the automated voice, and then you were supposed to guess which was which, and it was really hard. It was
right.
Really close. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't think anybody could duplicate us, though. No machine is going to do, you know, the sophisticated analysis of music that we do, right?
I guess that's true, yeah.
I challenge somebody to try. We'll take on all challengers. So, fun stuff as usual, although maybe not so fun. Should I give the not so fun report?
Sure.
The Milwaukee Brewers lost. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. Heartbreakingly in game 7.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the last loss in a sports context is usually heartbreaking anyway, right? I mean, it's eventually, it was one game from the World
getting
Series.
Swept or getting all the way to game 7 and then.
Yeah, that's
bombing out in front of your hometown crowd.
I did go to Game 6, and it was very exciting because the Brewers were behind 3-2. They needed to win that game to stay alive, and they in fact won that game, and it was very exciting. You know, packed stadium, very enthusiastic. So that was great. So I guess I went to the right game because then they lost the next one, which was sad. But I think people are feeling pretty good about the Brewers because, you know, that's the first time they've made it that far since 1982. So, and people are pretty hopeful about the future of the team. So, pretty fun, Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, and you still have the Packers. They're doing okay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just okay. They're marginal. They're off this week, but they, I don't know.
That's good. So, Aaron can get some rest.
He needs rest, yeah. When you get to be the ripe old age of... I wonder how old he is. I think he's about 34, maybe.
Uh-huh.
When you're that old, which is extremely old for a football player, right? You need time to rest.
It's extremely old for anyone except Tom Brady.
Oh, right.
Who is, I believe, 41, which is hard to believe, but I think he is.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, really. I thought you were going to say it's old for anyone except an indie rock fan or a Will's Band of the Week participant or fan or listener, right?
Well, or really anyone. I mean, if you're not a professional athlete, 34 is pretty young.
Right.
Right?
Yes. I would call it very young. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only in professional sports that's over the hill, marginal, getting ready to die age.
Right. That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do we have going on? I've got a live report.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a semi-live report, and I have a comment also.
Okay, then we better...
An anecdote that I picked up.
Okay. Garbage. That's my live report. I went to see Garbage.
Right.
Madisonians. Well, three, I can never remember if it's 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 of them are Madisonians. Well, originally kind of from way back. Well, people probably know about Garbage. I'll do the brief history of Garbage with no guarantee of accuracy. It's going to be from my memory. So basically, there's this guy named Butch Vig. A lot of people have heard of Butch Vig because he became very well known as a producer for some pretty well-known things like early Nirvana. And, you know, he kind of hit it big in the production business. And he had a studio in Madison called Smart Studios. And so at some point, he and a couple other guys, at least one of them also worked at Smart Studios, maybe two of them, they recruited a singer from Scotland named Shirley Manson and put together a band and called it Garbage. And they kind of hit it pretty big in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And I never could get myself to just completely buy in to that band. And they just never quite caught me, really, in a way that I was really engaged with them. But they had some hits that were pretty good. And part of it might be just sort of my perspective from being from Madison. And there's these sort of, I guess in the 90s, they weren't yet aging rockers. But, you know, these Midwestern guys, and they get this woman singer, and they hit it big. And so I was never, I don't know, I didn't know what I should think about it. And now I still have some mutual friends of, you know, some friends of mine know these Garbage guys, a couple of them pretty well. And so they tend to, the band comes to town and they go see him. And so my friend asked me if I wanted to go, and I'd never seen him. I thought, why not? They're playing at the new Arena Rock venue here, the Sylvie. We've talked about that a little bit.
Right.
So it was pretty much what I would have expected. So in other words, didn't really change what I think about the band. Although I think I had a little bit greater appreciation for Shirley Manson as a front woman. I think she is a very talented performer. And as far as the band goes, I think I probably liked about 3 or 4 of the songs I thought were really good. But they played for 2 hours. So when it got to be about an hour 40, I'm like, I'm kind of ready for this to be done. And they have a sound that's very kind of like, I described it as being fed through a giant processor. Like it's like everything's been put into this big machine. and I think maybe that's part of their appeal to a lot of people. To me, I kind of kept thinking, God, if they would just strip down the sound a little bit, they'd sound better. But I've queued up a song here. This is one that I think was pretty good. They were playing, they were commemorating the 20th anniversary of their second album called Version 2.0. That was, you can imagine that being like a really catchy title in the 90s, right? Version 2.0. Yeah. But this one, at least it's got a really catchy chorus, I think. It's called I Think I'm Paranoid. That's Garbage. Did you ever listen to Garbage?
No, I think I kind of missed that particular train somewhere along the way. And then they broke up, right? Weren't they broken up for a number of years and then they got back together?
Yeah, I think so. They haven't put any new music out in a long time, but they, you know, their reunion stuff, I guess, is kind of going over pretty well. So,
well, you know, this whole 20th anniversary of an album thing is, it's very big currently.
Right.
Or Liz Phair was just doing a 20th anniversary, I think, or 25th anniversary. And No, it was 20th anniversary of like her third album. I mean, everyone seems to be doing this now. This tour is now, you know, the 10th anniversary of something, the 20th anniversary of something.
Right.
Is that a good sign? I don't know.
There are some 30th anniversaries too.
There are.
Yeah.
There are 30th anniversaries. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we're getting a little bit of Skype feedback. So I'm going to say a demerit point for Skype. It would be a, you know, instead of like the opposite of a sponsorship, like where you tell people not to buy the product.
Yes. I don't think we're quite there yet. I mean, they've, you know, they've been good to us so far. Let's not.
Generally, yeah.
We've gotten our $0 worth. Don't forget the cost is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess you're right. Like when you think of it in terms of $0, that hits home with us, right?
Definitely.
All right. You said you had like a live mini report or something like that.
Well, it's actually a late live report, which was that my son and I and my daughter-in-law actually went to see Sydney Gish doing a headlining show because we had seen her opening. We discovered her opening for Petal.
Mm-hmm.
And hadn't seen, and so that was a, you know, it was a shorter set and we'd never seen her before, and we weren't educated on the Sydney Gish front at all. It was like, oh, who is this person? Oh my God, she's great. So when we realized she was doing a show of her own in a couple of months, we booked it, and so this was a couple of weeks ago, early October. And all I can say is she was as great as a headliner as she was as an opener. Not that much different, you know, more songs. Let me rephrase that. Not much different about her performance, but it's very different when you're performing in front of a crowd of 250 people, all of whom came to see just you.
Yeah.
So people were, you know, extremely enthusiastic, and that was the difference. That's the, you know, that's the secret ingredient there. So, she did what she said was her first encore ever.
That's cool.
It wasn't her first headlining show, but I think I would say it was her first headlining show in a decent sized space. She may have headlined, you know, in a room the size of someone's living room a few times, little clubs. But this is a decent space. This was at Rough Trade in Brooklyn, which, as I say, is about 250 people. So.
Oh yeah, I've seen that space, but I haven't seen a show at it. But it seems like a good space.
It is. It's a great space.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. It's
I did talk to her at the merch table, reminded her that we had sent her a message that she was on the podcast. She seemed to remember the message, but I don't think she's actually listened to the podcast. So given that and the fact that there were people who were lined up to actually buy merch, which I wasn't doing,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really think it was a good time to ask her to do a little radio intro for us.
Promo. But, yeah, that's right. I mean, if we were more bold like Nicholas, we'd be going up to the merch tables everywhere.
If
right?
I were as bold as Nicholas and if there hadn't been people in line behind me, I
right.
probably would have done it. But
yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. So did she have an opener for her then at this show?
She had two openers. Yeah.
Was there anybody worth noting?
There were no like exciting discoveries as there were when we had gone to see her, when we ended up seeing her earlier. So no, I'm not gonna mention those two, because why should I mention them only to say something negative or say something, you know, indifferent yeah. about them? They were openers.
Fair enough. So
they weren't horrible. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
She was the main event. She delivered.
Do they have at Rough Trade? Do they have a regular calendar of shows? And are they like at the same time as a regular club would have them?
Oh yeah.
So it is like a legitimate club. I wasn't
it's
sure.
It's legitimate club space behind the record store. And when you come in for your show, the record store is still open. So you can sort of hang out there. You can do your purchasing. By the time you leave the show, the record store has closed and only the space is open.
I was there, you know, during the day, like regular hours. So right. I didn't know if they did shows kind of, you know, during the daytime, like record store performances. But it's a legit venue type of a space, so I can see.
Yeah,
that, yeah,
yeah. When I originally heard that people were doing it, I thought that's what it was. I thought it was a record store appearance, but no, it's not. It's really a club that just happens to be behind the record store there.
Cool.
At this point, and one of the nicer spaces, really.
Yeah, I thought it seemed pretty user-friendly. It's not too big, not too small. The stage is stage is raised enough that you can see the band pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. All right. Should we move on?
I did have a note, and I just wanted to say something about a performance I saw on online.
Okay.
Which is our friends from Basement Revolver. Anorak had mentioned that they had an audio tree.
Right.
It was up, and their audio tree is really great. It's at least as good as the record, maybe better. I really loved it. But you know, they have these sections in the audio tree videos where they chat with the band. You know, you have to have a period where you chat with the band.
Yeah.
Talk about life on the road or whatever. And sometimes those are excruciating, those segments. They're really, you know, just the questions are dumb or what, or the answers are bad or whatever. And sometimes they're interesting. I mean, they're all over the map, really. Anyway, they were talking to our friends from Basement Revolver who, you know, look like they're about 14 years old. I mean, you see them on video. It's even more striking, you know, to hear the music when it's coming from people who look, you know, like that. Because
mm-hmm.
they're so good. You know, they're chatting with the band. And lead singer has a line, a lyric line tattooed on her arm from her favorite band, which is Me Without You.
Okay.
And so she's talking about how much she loved Me Without You, and maybe if she got another tattoo, it would be a different line from a different song by Me Without You. And so the interviewer says to the other members of the band, well, if you had got a tattoo, you know, with a band name or a lyric line or whatever on it, you know, what would you have? And the drummer says, well, I think I would have something, you know, he's like, well, I'm not getting anything tattooed anytime soon, but if I did, it would probably be a line from Broken Social Scene because, you know, I grew up listening to them. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he grew up listening to Broken Social Scene? Is that possible?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, let's see. I first started listening to them about 2003, 2004. That's 14 years ago. He's maybe 20. So he could have been listening to them when he was 7 years old.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was just like a weird moment. Like, whoa.
But right. Yeah, that's right. They
that's
seem
totally
like
possible.
They seem like recent music, sort of, to us.
To us,
yeah. To him, it's like the recent, oldest music he can think of. Yeah,
goes way back to the O's.
Right. Well, we're hoping that Basement Revolver continues to increase in popularity. Cool band, right?
Yes, and one day there will be people who say, "Well, you know, I grew up listening to Basement Revolver, and
right.
That's why they're my favorite band."
Yeah. We can talk about like Mott the Hoople, Grand Funk Railroad. All right. Yeah.
I used to love Mott the Hoople.
There was a guy in my dorm when I first went to college who we decided that he either was a fan of Ian Hunter or he looked like Ian Hunter. Now I can't remember. We called him Ian Hunter. but what I remember of him is he had a reel-to-reel tape deck, you know, tape machine in his dorm room, and he was playing Dark Side of the Moon at half speed. Talk about that. That's cutting edge, right?
Oh my God. I don't know. I think it's beyond cutting edge. I think that's some kind of psychosis.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, okay. Time for the feature.
Yes, I can actually remember what those look like.
I think there should be an actual jingle for what we're about to talk about. It's called a Crutchfield Sisters update, right? I think if Anurag had his way, we'd have a jingle for that.
I think you're right.
Actually, and we didn't even talk about the, there was a Waxahachie EP, but it was kind of low key and, you know, sort of, there were no drums on it as far as I recall. And I thought, all right, I don't think we really need to discuss that. That's just kind of a one-off thing. But now,
well, that will probably have to be in our year-end Crutchfield family roundup.
Yeah, we
a special
can do that.
Show devoted only to
yeah
you know, family and its productions.
The Crutchfield roundup. Yeah. Allison Crutchfield decided to reunite her former band Swearin, and
right.
I believe the story is that she dated one of the guys in the band, and then
yes.
You know. dating members of band, they break up. Usually that means band breaks up. So, and I believe that's what happened in their case. But then she sort of, she was kind
correct.
Of, if I remember this right, then I think she just kind of was reminiscing about how, man, that band was so fun. We should get back together, do an album. So they did, right? How did I do on my music journalism?
I think you did great. I was thinking, I think that is the story. But I was thinking, there are instances where there's a couple in the band and they break up and yet the band survives, right?
I mean,
usually you would think that's pretty much the end of it. But I think there are examples. I was trying to remember.
How about Fleetwood Mac?
Specifics. Well, Fleetwood, yeah, I mean, that's an epic right there. Yeah. That's a,
of course, they hated each other then for the rest of their career. But they every band member dated every other band member, right?
Yeah, maybe that's the one I was thinking of, because that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think also members of Slater Kinney were a couple at one time and then broke up, but the band did not break up.
Oh, okay.
I think that's true.
I didn't know that, but certainly possible. Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be a little awkward, you'd think, but some people could do that.
You just
maintain a business relationship and a musician relationship. You know, you could do it, I think. Anyway, so Swearin. Yeah, they have a new album. I never listened to the old Swearin, so I don't know how it compares. But this one's called Fall Into the Sun.
Right.
And it's kind of, I would say it's a little 90s grungy, right? A little 90s grungy power poppy. And they kind of, they trade vocals. They both sing on a lot of songs, but they have some that are primarily Alison Crutchfield and they have some that are primarily, here's my music journalism. I'm going to call him the guy. Okay.
Right.
and he has kind of a Stephen Malkmus semi-off key kind of, in fact, there's one song, I don't know if we'll play it, but there's one song where he's so off key that it's a little off-putting to me. But overall, it's pretty solid, I think. So,
well, you know, I would hate to do anything that would provoke Anurag into sending one of those Canadian hit teams over the border to take me out, because you know they're pretty well known for that,
right?
And I know it would upset him, but my general feeling about this is when it's Allison, it's pretty good because I like her voice and I really like. I like her songs. And when it's not, then I'm not giving it a positive review at that point.
I do think...
if you took Allison off the record, I would not listen to it again.
I think that probably her songs are better. Yeah. I'm probably not quite as down on, as negative on the guy's contributions as you are. Well, let's start with one that's probably a kind of obvious sort of a hit. I think it's... I'm going to call it a hit. It's number 3, Grow Into a Ghost.
Yep.
We'll be right back. That's swearing.
Yeah. It's a dirtier, grungier sound than you would get from, let's say, Waxahachie, but it's similar.
Yeah. And I kind of like the way her whole, you know, songwriting and singing fits in with the grungy style.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also reminded of the fact that when they were in the band together, Allison was the drummer, right? Wasn't she the drummer in PSLM?
Oh boy! Now that's a pretty good trivia item that I don't remember. I mean, certainly believable.
I only mentioned that because I was after listening to Swear, and I for some reason I decided to look at videos of the earlier stuff.
So I don't even know. In Swearin', is Allison the guitar or bass player? It's got to be one or the other. She's not the drummer, is she?
No, she's not the drummer. But, you know, there's definitely a very propulsive drum thing happening in a lot of their songs. So I'm just saying she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's very aware of that.
Yeah. All right. Do you have a pick?
Well, you know, in order to illustrate what I was saying, we should probably pick one of the songs that the guys are singing on. But as I say, those are not my favorites. So.
Well, you should pick your favorite. Then we'll figure out where to go from there.
Well, other than the one you just played, I would say it would be number, let's see, 6, Untitled LA.
Yeah, we're getting some sound effects compliments of Skype that people might be thinking, wow, that's a really cool little noise effect they put in there. Well, actually, I think Skype did that for us. Anyway, yeah, that's a catchy one, too. I like that one.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably play one.
I think it's good. It's a good formula, her songwriting and her singing with that sound.
We should play one with the guy, right?
Yes, but
so,
I'm not sure what the best example is.
I'm going to play the one that I thought was annoying because at the beginning, he sings without any backing, and it sounds like he's like purposely trying to be off key to the point. I usually don't mind people to sing off key, but it was kind of off-putting. Then I think when all the instrumentation comes in, then it's really fine. But we'll see what people think about this. It's number 5, Stabilize.
Light the way out.
That's swearing. So I think if you if you don't like the guy vocals or his songs, that's probably a good example of one you probably wouldn't like that much. But I think that he mixes in better on a lot of the other songs. There's some where they both sing, and I think they're pretty good. So, I think I'm okay generally with the guy and the band overall.
Well, as I say, I guess my overarching view is this band without Alison Crutchfield, I just don't see the point.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Listening to them because it's her band. So if she's not singing, why am I listening?
Yeah, she could have just decided, I'm going to do my own grunge band now. Or she could have told the guy, if she was really like not very nice, she could have just told the guy, we're reuniting the band, but now it's just going to be me singing. But then he probably wouldn't have taken too kindly to that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if the concept originally was, there's a lot of contributions, which I guess it was, then and you're getting back together, then obviously you're not going to change that. So I guess what I'm saying is I loved her solo album, and I still love it, and I play songs from it all the time. So I've avoided upsetting Anurag.
Yeah, we have to be careful what we say because we don't want Anurag to be upset. Right.
Right. The things that I am not enthusiastic about this band are the non Crutchfield contributions. So.
All right.
Crutchfield means clearly better music in my mind, and I'm sure in Anurag's. So.
All right. There's your Crutchfield update.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I don't know how it was I wandered onto these old YouTubes of the their band together, but those still hold up too. They were they broke up in 2011, and they had a reunion tour actually in 2016. So some of this was not that old, but they're great separate, and they're great together.
Very good. All right, should we talk about Joyce Manor now?
Absolutely.
We talked about Joyce Manor 2 years ago regarding their last album, and that was the first I had heard of them. How many albums do they have now? Four or five?
I think this would be five. Yes, I think this is number five.
So they're a California band, and their new album is called Million Dollars to Kill Me. And I don't know if I was really all that excited to listen to this until basically you told me to listen to it, so I did. And then I thought, yeah, I kind of like this. I don't listen to that much of this style these days, which is sort of would you call this emo? Like the way that the guy sings is this really projecting kind of vocal style. This kind of seems like it's gone out of fashion, kind of.
Yeah, I would agree. It's kind of an emo punk blend. Although I think they're getting less punk and more emo as it kind of develops.
Yeah, that's what, and I didn't have a good overview of like their whole catalog, but that's what I was reading too. And this, but it's just it's very well done for what it is, I think.
Yeah.
So I was very, and you gotta love an album that's that is a total of, what is this, 23 minutes long, 10 songs. So that's you gotta appreciate that, right?
I do appreciate the short songs. Yeah, I mean, I had the same feeling about it as you did, which was, that last album was great. Do I really want to hear more of that this soon? Is it going to, how great is it going to be? It's either a year or two or 2 years ago. I felt like there wasn't any particular mental space that was, available for the record to occupy. And then I started listening to it, and it was like the record was saying to me, okay, listen, you don't think you have any room on your top 10 list? Maybe you better reconsider this. maybe you need to shove a few things aside because this is really good.
So
it's not different from what they were doing before. It's just really good. It's more. It's another really solid record. That's all I can say.
So you should make the first pick.
Wow, that's a hard one. Number two. Number two is always good, right?
Yeah, it better be. It's called Think I'm Still in Love with You.
Did I introduce you to the kinds of things you thought?
Joyce Manor.
Joyce Manor.
Yeah. It's the kind of song where you might not want 4 or 5 minutes of it, but 2 minutes and out, it's fabulous.
And they're not all the same. So I put this on and I'm like, all right, there's a pretty good power pop song. And you're kind of hoping the next one isn't exactly the same, and it's not. So there's always some little interesting little thing, like an interesting drum beat or just something that's a little bit different enough to keep it interesting. So yeah. When you mentioned this album, you mentioned a track and you said, hey, you got to listen to this. So I'll just pick that one and then you can have the third pick. All right.
Okay.
The one that you mentioned was I'm Not the One. And I agree, it's a good one.
I'm not the one who invented the sun, but I know who did. Check out the knife on the millionaire's wife, getting all unhinged. Trying to decide who's good and who's just rich. Whoa. Took all of his money and she burned it in a ditch. Look out below, cause it's not the tempo, it's the truth in the song. Tried to give it back on a charity track, but they argued all night long about who did deserve this dirty wealth. Whoa. Baby, when we die, yeah, we're all gonna burn in hell. Dog at the door is the king of hardcore, cause he's always been booking the shows where they sell the most clothes, cause they're so limited. Trying to decide who's good and who's just poor. Whoa. Baby, when we die, yeah, we're all gonna want to mourn.
Yep, it's a good one. Joyce Manor.
Oops, I think our excerpt of that song was the song.
Ah, there's a few more seconds. There's a few more seconds, so we can't be sued. I mean, we could be.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been hoping we would get sued to get the publicity, but yeah, I don't think that's going to do it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Concise.
Good and different, and yeah.
I like the drums in that song. It's always fun when the drums come in halfway, you know.
It is.
That was done well in that song.
And just good song craft,
right?
You know, the repetitions in the choruses, in the verses, just really
great. Very good. Yep. All right, we get to play another one, and you get to choose which one.
Well, as you say, they're all very different. The last track is like completely different from everything. It's just a little folky thing. But I would say, going back to the sound of the first one, I would go with number 5. $1 Million to Kill Me, which is the title track.
She don't want to write a song. She knows exactly when and where and what went wrong. Besides, it's been too long. And she don't mean to be a drag. She's just indifferent to the old blue flag. But she can't go back. Well, she's the only one who could take you to a pawn shop and sell you for twice what you're worth. Nobody tells you it hurts to be loved. could take you to a pawn shop and sell you for twice what you're worth. Nobody tells you it hurts to be loved.
That was not quite the whole song.
Not quite, no.
The title track, Million Dollars to Kill Me.
So can I play the Barrett game with you for a minute?
Sure, yeah. We always like that.
Yeah. So who does that remind you of? There's a very specific band.
That song?
I even went back and listened to a couple of their songs just to verify that. No, not just that song, but that is an example, yes.
I think some of their songs sound like the kind of the heyday of Fountains of Wayne.
Oh my God, you got it. I never thought you would get that.
Hey, pretty good, huh?
Wow. Yeah. I'm impressed.
If you go back to like Welcome
exactly
Interstate Managers or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yes. I finally got one. That's probably, I won't get another one now for like 2 years, right?
Yeah, so, but I mean, yeah. What's amazing is if you think about, you know, how they're, this band is portrayed, and the crowd that they get, it's very much a young, you know, punk, hardcore kind of, that's the way they're thought of.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally different world, really, from, you know, the top 40 sound of Fountains of Wayne. But really, they're very, very close.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, so it's interesting because they're sort of, if their trend is from, like, the more hardcore and the punkier stuff to the poppier stuff, it'd be an interesting combination. I bet they're a good live band. And I have to, this is kind of a sad thing to say, but they're playing in Madison tomorrow night. It's a Monday night. I'm pretty sure I have this right. It's a Monday night and there's three bands. I just don't think I can do it. I've got a early Tuesday morning obligation. But if they were playing, like if they were going to be done at 10 p.m., then I'd be totally on board. But I think it's going to be like later than that. So I probably won't go, but I think it would be good. So there, that's why I'm going to leave it at that. So somebody else should go.
Well, one reason that I haven't seen them is that I have seen some YouTubes of their live show, and it looks great, except that there's a lot of crowd activity going on, including like bottles being thrown. And it's at least a couple of years ago. Maybe they've changed. Maybe their crowd has changed. But it was pretty wild there. I don't think you'd want to be up front. At least at one of those shows.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
So that's a possibility. But it is strange that it's a strange coincidence that they're going to be in Madison. And guess who was playing last night in New York?
I don't know.
Swearin.
Oh.
I wasn't there either, so.
Swearin is not
we're both down on the job here.
I think the closest Swearin is coming is Chicago to here. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a band that I don't think I would travel to go see, but if they came to Madison, I would go. So,
I think you would be obligated to go.
Mm-hmm. Podcast duty.
Any Crutchfield project, you would if they were in Madison. Maybe even if they were in Milwaukee, you might be obligated to go.
Anurag will go when they play in Kitchener, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if Anurag would go to Toronto to hear them.
Yeah, I would think. I would assume
he would have to go to Toronto.
Yeah, come on. How can he not? Yeah.
I would be embarrassed for him if they played Toronto and he wasn't there.
Now I'm going to check their live dates, so hold on here.
Yeah, we're going to put his feet to the fire now.
Looks like Swearin is kind of making their way through the U.S. South and East in December, and then they're heading to the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably already played in Toronto. Well, anyway, that's pretty clear that Anurag is duty bound to go. So, let's see. Why don't I just briefly mention this band called La 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 that I've been listening to that I think is good and worth mentioning. They almost made the cut last week, and then we kind of ran out of time and had too many things to talk about. So we got a little bit of time now. So this is a Chicago band, and the album is called The Lamb. I'll play some of it, and then we'll do an extensive journalistic report. So let's do, like you said, track two has to be good, right?
Right.
So this one's called Spy.
Spy.
pronounced Lala Lala. The woman's name is Lily West, the main singer-songwriter. And I think it's pretty good. It's you could probably call it lo-fi. A lot of reverb. We always like reverb, don't we?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I like the sound.
So I think you said you just barely listened to this, right?
Yeah. I do remember the cut three, though.
All right. Since you remember cut three, it was memorable, so I guess we should play it, right?
Yeah.
Water Over Sex. It's a catchy one, too.
Nice. She is going to be opening for Y in New York on November 30th.
All right. So getting some decent tour dates. That's good. Yeah. Well, this is going to be perhaps unduly emphasizing the first part of the album. But I think I want to play track one because I think it has a really catchy chorus. Whenever you can get that catchy chorus, like when it hits and you're like, whoa, that was cool. That's a good thing. So I think this song does that. Now I've set expectations too high, but we'll try it anyway.
Okay.
Number one, Destroyer.
All my dead eyes.
That's La 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 La. We'll call it Reverb Rock, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They never let up on the reverb.
Yep. And so, yeah, pretty cool. It's a 12-track album, 32 and a half minutes long, so kind of concise. I think probably the biggest challenge with an album is to try to sustain it, right, and have, you know, consistently, you know, just have to be consistently good. And I think it's the first 3 to 5 tracks are really good, and it's a little difficult to sustain. So the album as a whole doesn't quite sustain that level, I think, but still solid effort, and it's good. Hopefully, she'll do well.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
She's only 24 and she's just getting started. So yeah.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, she's been featured on the podcast, well, we know what's going to happen.
I hope
she's prepared for the rigors of, you know, the media appearances and all of that.
Well, look what happened
to
look what happened to Snail Mail after they got on our podcast. I mean,
oh my God.
Yeah, yes. It was like she hit the ground running at that point.
She really did.
All right, I think
she has just finished shows in Japan, Singapore, I don't know, somewhere else in Asia, and then got back here, and then I see her on Instagram saying she's packing for European tour.
Another
European tour.
That is that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're very busy.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, I think it's been greater than $0 worth, and since I have a great editing job coming up here, probably ought to sign off.
Yes, I hope. Yeah. I hope that Skype hasn't given us too many problems.
Yeah. Gave us a few sound effects. Yeah, but for the most part, it's been okay.
They'll probably be calling you very soon to you know, check in and ask if there's anything they can do about our issues and
how
they can retain us as valuable customers and all of that.
Right. Customer retention will be calling us. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You ever notice there are some businesses that are so keyed on their social media that you'll be at a site like like Yelp, for example, say, or maybe like TripAdvisor, and somebody will post something that they are dissatisfied, and like they feel compelled that every single dissatisfied person they respond and say, please let me know if I can help you in any way. I'm so sorry about your bad experience. It's like, man, that's like over managing the social media, I think, right?
Yes, I've noticed that. I've also noticed that there are some, well, I don't know, this may be a cultural thing in certain countries, but I noticed, I was looking at reviews, we're planning a trip, and I was looking at reviews of some hotels and places in India, and on their reviews, a lot of them respond not just to negative reviews, of which they have very few, but they even respond to positive ones.
Oh, interesting.
So every time there's a review, there will be a response saying, thank you for your wonderful comments, and, you know, yes, we understand what you said about the towels, and we'll address that issue. But, you know, there may be minor things, but there are owners that will just simply respond to every single review.
Yeah,
I think that's overdoing it, but that is their practice. They want to demonstrate that they are paying attention. So.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, thank you for being available this weekend. And keep listening to music. We have a lot to listen to, not only just, you know, in the regular indie rock media, but the correspondents have been very good in recommending things. So there's all kinds of stuff out there we could be listening to, right? We'll see what rises to the top.
So much.
Yep.
And the year-end crush is beginning.
It is.
The releases that are out.
So, yeah, just, you know,
to
we're
get
just
attention on our 10 best list.
It's going to start decreasing really soon though, isn't it? Because we're in late October now. Usually by the time you hit November, they're starting to peter out a bit, right? By mid-November they're really starting to decrease. So, I don't know, bands, you better get your music out there pretty quick if you want us to consider it.
That's right. The window is closing.
Right. All right. Let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.